order you gave me.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If I keep you all to stand up one more second, 9/11 was yesterday. Just a moment of silence for what we went through 18 years ago. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Barbara DiGennaro?
Here.
Tom DiNapprio?
Here.
Beth Moran?
Here.
Joe DiMartino?
Here.
Evelyn Browning?
Here.
Ron Sill?
Here.
Jim DiMartino is absent.
Absent.
Rob Hyder?
Excuse. He's on.
Excuse? Yes. Okay. And Charlie Sampson?
Here.
Okay. We have a quorum. Number four, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption to the agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I have just a couple. For some reason, you get the right one. Under 8.2.3, replacement of roofs at Pagasset and Storms Fieldhouse, or firehouses, I'm sorry. That should say discussion and possible action to accept the amended 2019 capital plan. I'd like to move executive session and regular session actions from executive session prior to new business. So it would be 11 to 12 would be prior to 9. 9.6, sale of tax lien. We're actually going to change that description to discussion on a contract between the city and
it says our discussion tax. On it. 9.6?
Delete possible action is what I think. The
right, take out possible action.
Okay.
Just discussion.
Okay.
And then 9.7.
I'm going to add.
We can call it solicitor licenses, discussion, possible action regarding solicitor conduct.
Recent solicitor.
Vendor license. I'm sorry.
Okay. Any others?
That'd be all.
You have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so carried. I'm sorry, 8.2.3 was discussion or?
8.2.3 was discussion and possible action, it should say to accept the amended 2019 capital plan.
Okay, thank you. All right. We will move on to number five, public portion. Anybody from the public would like to speak? Yes, sir. Name and for the record, address.
Anello, A-N-I-E-L-L-O. Last name is Malerba, M-A-L-E-R-B-A. You need the address too?
Yes, please.
501 Roosevelt Drive, apartment 3. And if you have any complaints, you can send it to 501 Roosevelt Drive, apartment 2, which is the cheapest. But
go ahead, sir.
I know you guys mentioned that you're changing it to a discussion tonight on tax liens. Just want to briefly discuss why I think that's kind of a bad idea for the city. First and foremost, it negatively affects and impacts mostly the people who are already severely impacted within the city. I think that's something that should definitely be taken into consideration. I'm not saying that people should not be held accountable to pay their taxes. 100% should be held accountable. If I may continue, I'm sorry. I think it should be moved to a subcommittee so it can be discussed. This is something that, as far as I know, has not been done. This is something that, and I think it might be a little bit different of a policy than we've had here in the past and traditionally, but it's still something that has a huge impact on the city. So by moving it to a subcommittee, then we can also have the discussion, the research, to properly vet it, to make sure we're getting what I think could be the best deal for the city. And I noticed it only had one. I believe it was, I don't have the agenda in front of me. You guys all can see the company that was on the agenda. Why was it not put up for bid if that's going to be the case? If we don't put it out for bid, how do we know that's the best deal for the city? How do we know that we're going to get the biggest percentage collected from these companies? I mean, to be quite honest, that's something that it's kind of a big deal. You know, it's something that needs to be done and should be done. It affects the entire city. We just had a 2.5 million increase, and I just feel that we should be following the proper procedures. I'm not saying that we can't just give everybody a free pass. That's not the case. There's procedures in place for the city of Derby to collect taxes. If we do the research, maybe we can find out that, okay, maybe this company is not the best company. Maybe there is another course of action we can take, something that's already in place. Secondly, or as we move on down the line, how do we know that financially this is the best deal for the city? So until we do the research, we don't know. And we owe it to the city, and I say we, I apologize. Most of you guys know I'm the town chair. I apologize. I know you guys are all elected, but we owe it to the city to do everything we possibly can. I understand it's a bad situation, so if we're going to put them in a bad situation, let's at least do the due diligence. If we're not going to hold ourselves accountable, then how are we going to expect them to be held accountable? So I just thank you for your time. I apologize for rambling. I apologize to everybody over here for rambling. So
no problem. Thank you. That's what it's for. Anybody else from the public like to speak? Anyone else? Third time. Okay, closed. All right, number six, department head meetings.
I like that. No wonder why you guys never gave me this for a year.
6.1, finance director. Any questions?
Hey, Mayor. Are you going to recognize them tonight?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they're number 23. Okay, hearing none. Okay, 6.2, police department.
Not much crime going on in this.
They're out there.
Doesn't address it for the just three things, whatever you put in there.
6.3, fire marshal. Any questions?
Nice report.
Okay, thank you, fire department. I want to introduce our new fire commissioner, Gary Parker. I think everybody here at the board is familiar with him. Our previous one, Jim Petrino, work sent him down to Washington, D.C., and unknown how long he was going to be down there, so he stepped down, and Gary, who is very familiar with the fire department.
Excuse me, sorry.
Chose to decide to step up with me and continue on the great tradition for the Derby Fire Department. So, any questions for the fire department now?
Good luck.
Thank you.
Yes.
Look forward to it. Thank you for the challenge.
Look forward to working with you again, Chief.
How big pay you got?
Yeah. Okay. Call you boss.
All right, Gary, thanks for being here. OEM, is Mark here? Storms ambulance. Okay, Board of Ed, Doc is here. How you doing, sir?
Very well, thanks.
How's the beginning of the school year going so far?
So far, so good.
Excellent. Public Works, Ed.
Ed, I just wanted to say, today I called, I was driving around and I saw a couple of dead animals on the road, and within an hour you guys had them off the road. You guys did a great job. You guys are always on the spot when we need you. And I want to thank you for coming to every meeting. You're like one of the only ones that comes.
And Phil.
Appreciate it.
Phil. One of the only ones, I think.
Dr. Conway, away. Here we go. Yeah.
One of the only ones.
Ed has been here every time, so the other Ed, too. Since
Ed, just a thing that came out of last committee meeting. The life holes, you're going to grab those before Saturday, the ones up the football field? Because they were, their Turco was talking about taking those out of the.
We will take them.
Okay.
Do you know who wants them?
They're only a year old, so I would say that we store them for now somewhere if we can.
Thank you. I saw them today.
Yeah, thanks.
They're going to take them Saturday.
Yeah, they're going to take them Saturday.
I'll take them tomorrow.
So if we don't take them before then?
I'll get them tomorrow.
Okay, any other questions?
They're not theirs to take. The city property, right? What's he saying?
All right, thank you, Ed. WPCA, Ed's here. How's, I had a few questions on, so who do you got, Mark Four? They're doing repairs, or are they doing replacements?
They're finishing up the second half of the I&I.
I&I.
So near replacement, I think they're just doing the final thing this week.
Hey, Rob? Did you say something about an ordinance that you guys passed a while ago about paving when they...
Paving?
Yeah.
Well...
They got to pave half the road or...
Well, something, they got to complete the whole road. They can't just patch the spot. It's curb to curb. There was a resolution or something Anthony brought up to maybe 4 years ago or so, and he brought it to the board.
Where's the chief of staff?
I think it's been more than 4 years.
Oh, maybe you can check on that?
Sure.
You know?
I want to say it's if you rip up a certain percentage of the road, then you have to complete the entire road.
Curb to curb.
I think there's a requirement.
Because there's a lot of people doing some work in town, and it just looks like they're patching where they work.
When they come in for their permit, they get the street opening permit, and they also get another paper that they have to sign that tells them what they have to do after.
All right, so they know.
Done the job, so they sign both. I have all the copies at Public Works, so.
And you guys inspect it after.
And the former goes out, so.
Right.
See, I'll come see you tomorrow and talk about it.
Yeah.
But it's already on, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yes, we're, yeah.
For the contractors.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions, WPCA? Ed, thank you.
If I could, I just want to commend Ed for the great job he's done stepping in as in the interim role, and then eventually will be on what I think is a permanent role. He's doing a phenomenal job, and we've had the improvements at WPCA since he's taken the helm have been immeasurable. So I just want to put that on the record.
Very good.
Building Department. Carlo. Tougher to see you now. You're melting away.
House permits going.
Great.
Yeah. Busy.
Very busy. Yes. Everybody coming soon.
November?
No. Before that.
Oh yeah. Before election? It's gonna be before election.
Could be.
That went before election.
Probably the day before. People aren't stupid though, so you can whatever.
Anymore.
No, it's coming. Oh. That's something you think.
I saw that shot across the bow.
Well deserved. Facilities. Anything from facilities? Okay, thank you. Parking. Patty?
Pass it out. I think it's some funny. There's the pile.
Oh, this one here?
Parking.
Because I wait till I get my bank statement. It was the fourth Thursday of the month. There was no problem, but now,
all right.
The second Thursday.
Thank you.
We could change that for you, Patty.
Yeah.
Thank you, Patty, what's the UI bill? Is that the lights inside the parking garage?
The 900, that's the lights. And
the 1,959?
Yep, and that's the municipal energy program where we redid all the lights and everything, where we paid the 1,302 a month. That's paying it down for that. So, but our monthly bill has decreased significantly since we put in those new lights.
So it's down to 657.
Is it 657 already?
Yeah, and then so we only have, what, probably another year or so, and then we'll be reaping the benefits on the lights.
Absolutely.
Good program.
But you can tell already, it's brighter, the bill is less, so.
And if you look in here, these are the new lights that they did for City Hall right now, too, so.
I know, I had to put my SPF.
Nice job, guys.
And you're working on a grant for the security, right?
We're still doing for the cameras, we're putting together the RFP.
Great.
To include the stairwells, the, possibly the elevator.
Very good.
Any other questions for parking? All right, standing up, revolving loan. No questions? Good, all right, Chief of Staff. Questions on his report? Hearing done. 15, Economic Development Liaison, Carmen.
Just want to give you an update on the BJ Road property. BJ Road property went out to bid. We had a successful bidder at $325,000. The bidder was Mr. George Schrade, better known as A1 Quick Pick. Right now, the lawyers are, and our city engineer are working on the plot plan for Mr. Schrade. So that should be coming in to the very short.
What's the status with Varka building?
We're just waiting for Mr. Marino and the gentleman's lawyer to finalize the contract.
We had delay.
Diligence period.
Yeah, we had delay with the responding. My partner, Lauren Drucker, is handling the contract, and it took them almost 6 weeks to put the lawyer to contact with. So, but I did get an email update from her today saying that they were advancing the contract. Carl, what's the discussion with Loretta about they want to bring a dog rescue building here? Is that what that is, or?
There was a discussion. She called me and wanted to us to explore the possibility of using the old dog pound as a dog rescue. So I said I would give that to regulations to see exactly what we can do with that.
And meeting with investor about developmental site, what site is that going to be?
Downtown.
Just downtown?
Yeah.
Not BJ's, just downtown?
No, downtown.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you, Carmen. Corporate counsel, planning, zoning, labor, and outside. Any questions? Okay. Hearing none, parks and recs.
Pretty much all we're doing, if you saw the minutes, is pretty much we've been following up on the project up on Chapel Street, obviously. Even at our last meeting we had on Monday, it was the same thing. We had discussions, and of course, we wanted to forward any operational plans or anything. And the, I believe the Board of Aldermen are going to finish taking a look at it at their next subcommittee.
Okay. Any questions for Andy?
We didn't get a report.
The minutes weren't there.
We talked about the two new hires. They were at the meeting.
Yeah, we did. Yes, we did discuss the two new hirings. And, matter of fact, they were at the building this morning for training, along with numerous people that are in this building, to understand the complexity of all of the mechanicals.
Okay. And then one of the hirees is on two boards, and he plans on resigning on those two boards tomorrow. There shouldn't be any problems with for a waiver.
Nothing else are there. Most good people know.
Jose Rodriguez is the part-time one, and
Jose Rodriguez,
who is the coach for Pop Warner.
Figueroa.
I'm sorry.
There we go.
And he was previously over at the parking garage. He's over here.
He seemed to be pretty knowledgeable this morning, too.
He has a lot of.
We were going through the systems.
He has a lot of OSHA and certifications and stuff, so I think we got a good.
So, Mr. Whitehead is going to resign from the boards he's on, so we won't have a waiver at this board.
Nope. No.
Let us know that he does that and.
That'll be tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, he'll have that.
They're the custodians, correct?
Yeah, 10 hours. So it's part time.
One's 20, one's 10.
Yeah, Jose got the 20-hour, up to 20 hours per week, and Tom get the up to 10 hours a week. Up,
yeah. Okay. Any other questions? All right. Cultural Commission. Nice to see you guys here.
Yeah.
How's everything?
Okay. We're done for the summer. I'm planning on Halloween. We're not sure yet what we're doing, but we've done that.
I like to make a recommendation for you guys. I've been going to the Derby Day festivities, this your summer fest?
Yes.
And I can go back 6 to 8 years, and it seems to me it's not catching that well. I highly recommend maybe thinking about doing it with the fireworks. We have thousands of people that come out when the fireworks has, and they line up and down the street. Maybe somehow we could coordinate the fireworks with Derby Day, and maybe we could promote it better that way. It's just an option I'm throwing out there, just to be honest.
We'll definitely bring it back to the to the committee.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Perfect. And you guys are doing a great job.
You guys are doing a great job.
I appreciate your hard work.
Yes. Up a storm at one of our concerts.
I think President Sampson asked, I don't think it was last month, I think it was 2 months ago. It was right after Derby Day. I mean, we were supposed to every month see the financial.
There's nothing in the minutes about that? Because we haven't
No. So you're supposed to report. So we don't know what you made, how you profited, what you expended. So it's been a topic
for a long time.
So if you could just relay that so that next month we have it.
We'll get it into the next minutes. Next month's minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
We did have a winner for the photo quiz. Two winners.
Big names in the valley. Juan Marcuccio and Bill Pucci's wife and daughter.
Oh, nice.
That was a lot.
And one of them was touring from Ireland. You know, they had lived here one time, and they came from the son who was participating with his dad in this like scavenger hunt, basically, of all the symbols throughout Derby. He had a blast. He said that he got reacquainted with Derby. He had such a good time. He was so happy to participate.
What Marcuccio one?
Tom.
So we'll be having a autumn photo quiz, and that will be for the Center for the Youth, and then Christmas photo quiz. Same theme, scavenger hunts, and different businesses in the downtown district will offer gift certificates, working with the corporation.
Nice.
Excellent.
Good job. All right, any other questions? Website report of tickets for the month?
Yeah. Who's in charge this week?
From what I understand, there was, obviously the town clerk is on vacation. So in speaking to the assistant clerk, you're going to get a double report next month is what it's going to look like. I can assure you that everything's been handled appropriately and handled to the right people.
Okay. Athletic Complex Building Committee.
Mr. Mayor, tonight on the agenda, we are going to be accepting the field. It is substantially complete. We made a motion. There's some punch list items and some clarifications in a substantially complete document. But we were all set to go. It was a long road. It was a tough road. But the turf field is done. The track is done. The track and field events, the shopper and javelin still need to be completed. But we're going to go live on the 20th, provided you approve our recommendation tonight. The 20th, I encourage everyone to come. We're bringing back the oldest living football player in Derby High Schools, and that's Foggy Nagel, 95, Nero. And we're bringing back Catherine Kelleher, who's the oldest living cheerleader. And they're going to be doing the coin flip, and we're just going to have some other things that night to kind of unite the older generations with the newer generations. But I want to commend my committee. It was a hell of a process. When we're done, we'd like to do a tabletop, come back to you guys on things that we can do for the future to prevent kind of what we got into and recommendations going forward. But we are all set. And it was an honor to serve. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Field house, baseball field. Any questions for Doc?
I should have recorded what Mr. McLiberty just said and could have hit play, but our committee on Tuesday night approved a substantial completion certificate for the field house. During that meeting, we received the certificate of occupancy actually for the field house, which was approved prior to tonight's meeting by that committee as well. So we too are ready to play. Appreciate the vote tonight, and just like to publicly thank Mr. McLiberty for his work chairing that committee. It has been a long couple of years, but something I think that the community can be proud of for a long time. He's stepped up and served on it, and I know it has been a lot of time by the entire committee, by the chair, to see that through. So publicly thank him for his work on that.
I like it.
Thank you.
Yes, it's been a great job. Doc, I'd like to say, too, the year and a half I've been here, a little more than a lot of the questions and concerns that came through, you funneled it your way, all those speed bumps that it was, the way you handled it, you took care of those problems, it went nice and smoothly, you did a great job. I mean, and Keith, you too, I mean, it's, for everything that's been going on, we still have a few more that we have to take care of, but you guys did a phenomenal job. Thank you for what you guys did. Infrastructure committee.
No, nothing to report, sir. They're still working on Roosevelt Drive. We hope to have that done in the next 3 weeks.
Really?
And then we're moving on to, we're awaiting the state report for the reservation of the sewer. Then once we get that, we'll figure out what we're going to do down at the plant. We may have to realign our priorities depending on what the report dictates.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. 23, I think this is a new one. We have the senior center. So I want to introduce you to our new senior center director, Christine Socini, as our director, and Dawn Hebert is our assistant director. And did you submit a report? Or are you going to?
I did.
You did?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you just highlight a couple things that were on that report. Where?
Well, I know today we had a big function, and we had our probably highest attendance today. We had 84 members show up today. And since we started, we've had a steady increase in our new membership. We've had a steady increase in the amount of members coming to the programs. So that's just in the programs. They've been very welcoming. You know, been a little trying to figure out the systems and everything else, but we're doing that. And the members seem to be very open to what we want to do and you know, open to some changes. So that's what we're looking to do. We want to better the programs. We want to bring more people in. We have some ideas for some programs that, you know, for men and things like that, and utilize the building more. And that's pretty much what we're working on right now.
What's the minimum age that you can join?
55.
55?
Oh,
no. We're nowhere near there.
Oh, no. Wait a second. Are you older than me?
I'm only 45.
Yeah. And then, I was going to say, I'm 35. Yeah. So
and today, they had a milestone there.
We had a milestone. Yeah, we had a birthday party for one of our members who turned 100 today. Well, actually, her birthday is tomorrow.
Helen Pulaski.
Yeah, and the paper came and everything else, and she was just so thankful. And I mean, she's a pleasure.
Yes.
She really is a pleasure to have.
She's been a member for 40 years.
For 40 years. And we did find out that she used to operate a
20-ton
crane.
During, like, the war or something.
Yeah, that was, like, shocking because she's just this timid kind of little demure kind of thing. Yeah. I think it's been positive. I mean, you know, people that stopped coming are coming back. So that's a really good sign. So I think, you know, we can only be hopeful. Yeah.
Volunteer group, too.
The volunteers are great, everything. So it's been good.
Well, I see it. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
And we'll see you every month there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, definitely.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Any questions? Any questions for them?
He thought you said 65.
Oh, no, that's 55.
Yeah, we're trying to get younger members.
Gotta speak louder.
We're gonna start a pool week.
Joe was in my ear.
Well, thank you on that. 624, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Board of Aldermen. Tonight, we will be addressing an update on the 8-point plan that we presented to you back in July. Tonight, we have Barry Bernardi from Phoenix Advisors, who reported the most recent bond sale, the bond rating, and then John Acavallo, who's the auditor, who will address some of the issues that happened and transpired over the last 3-4 years that put us to where we are today. I think the best approach, for purpose of transparency, is to allow us to go through the rating agency presentation that we made to Wall Street on July 23rd. That would be the best because it touches on all 8 points. Then we'll go over the rating report that the S&P issued. We'll go over the bond sale, which was absolutely a fantastic sale. We actually timed the transaction happened at the lowest interest rates in probably 60 to 70 years. So once we're done with that, John will get into some of the organizational structural issues, and then we think you'll be able to walk away tonight with a complete, full understanding of where we are and not the rumors on the streets. This is going to be factually based and independent. I put the documents in your packet tonight. I think if you follow through on the board above, and if you can hold the questions to the end, because a lot of this will tie together at the end, that'd be great before we move on to Barry. So how do we get here? Well, there's a couple of points that John will get into them, but basically, the budget that was adopted for 16-17, 17-18, 18-19 fiscal year had double counted some state revenue coming in. The first year it happened was totally innocent, and you can see how it transpired, but it resulted in us being short about $1.2 million on the revenue side in those 3 years. The revenue for the formula grants were overestimated in each of those 3 years as well. That was attributed to a lot of the state cutting back on formulas grants, and in 1 year the state actually adopted their budget 5 months after the municipalities, so we went into that fiscal year kind of flying blind and using previous year estimates, which turned out not to be accurate. Then we had the adjustment of prior year payables that John reversed back to a new fiscal year, and that hit the fund balance. The other interesting thing was our medical costs exceeded the budget in 17-18 by $1 million. One says, oh, why? How'd that happen? Well, that was the year we transitioned from one carrier to another. So what happened was we believe there was a consumerism effect, and people were concerned that going to this new policy, they weren't going to have the same coverages they had. And we saw in the fourth quarter of the fiscal year a spike in medical claims and people going to doctor visits, which was not anticipated. And that was really where the hit came from. $700,000, that million, was consumerism, where services were rendered that they could have waited, but they wanted to go because there was fear of the new program. So we presented to you an 8-point recovery plan. It comprised of a debt restructuring, which we'll talk about, which was a very successful event the other day. Sale of assets, Carm touched on a little bit. There was a mill increase of this past year. That is an important move. The analysts on Wall Street like to see that cities do raise taxes, that they're not afraid to artificially suppress the mill rate. I do want to touch on this because I've heard today 3 times that elected officials are around the town saying we're guaranteeing a raise of the mill rate next year of 3 or 2 mills. That'd be phenomenal if they could come in and crystal ball how it's going to be. No one has any idea what the mill rate's going to be next year, so I want to squash that rumor right now. I know it's wacky season and there's going to be a lot of things said. We're dealing with the mill rate this year. There's no indication of what the mill rate's going to be next year. We adjusted some long-term costs in areas that we were strong. We had a tax sale, or the tax sale was pending. It was authorized by this board, but it is pending. We have some structural organizational changes that the tax board approved. We do see some ground lease growth. And then we have a policy that the tax board is going to revisit for fund balance as a percent of revenue. The debt restructuring. As we get into these, I want to make it very clear that the mill rate increase that took place was to absorb increases in the operational budget and to make up for revenues that might have been overstated. All of this debt restructuring had no impact on the mill rate in the sense of driving it up. What it actually did is avoid it from going any higher. So to be very, very clear, the mill rate that was adopted absorbs operational expenses and any downtick in revenue. All the things you're going to see about debt restructuring was exclusive of that mill rate adoption. So we went into looking at the market and looking what we could refinance, and we basically were able to refinance, restructure all of the debt for 1920 except for the sewer. The sewer is an authority, they're autonomous. We did not touch the sewer debt. For 1920, the operating budget did include amounts in the taxes for the debt. It's going to be shifted right to a direct replenishment of fund balance. So on day one of this fiscal year, we put $1.8 million right into fund balance. On day one of 2021, we will add $1.5 million right into fund balance. That goes towards the restoration of the fund balance that we had a negative fund balance at the end of June of 18. Second item on the plan is the sale of assets. We do have assets that are not serving us well. They're not being taxed. They're not on the rolls. We don't have them. They're not city operational buildings, but they are assets and property. Assessment was done, i.e. Varka and the Commerce Park, and we were able to sell them and get them back on the tax rolls. Varka is I think, waiting for closing. The estimated purchase price is $450, and Commerce Park and Kyrie $350 going into the rating call. There is some vacant residential properties that will be looked at. That's linked to some zoning restructuring, and that's coming down the road. But we know as we sell those two assets, we're able to preserve that money and put it into fund balance. Mill rate increase, Board of Taxes, portion of taxation, did approve a 2.5 mil increase in fiscal 1920. Now, I know that's a big high hit in 1 year. It equals 6.35% of the taxes. Now, it might be different depending on your home and depending on whether or not you had some permits pulled to increase your value. But we must stress that there was no increase in the mill rate for the last three fiscal years. Is that prudent? No. In hindsight, it's easy to criticize, but we definitely have to look at it where there has to be some mill rate increase each year, albeit incremental. But to go zero for 3 years while other costs are rising, you're going to get trapped or you're going to wind up using your fund balance to artificially supplement your operating expense. Now, I know the homeowners, and me too, I'm a homeowner, I didn't like seeing the spike, but I had no increase for 3 years. Now, if one were to do an analysis utilizing CPI, which is Consumer Price Index, which does not include food or fuel, over that same time period, CPI went up 6.5%. To me, that indicates that if we had gone up incrementally, just as CPI does, we would have ended in the same spot we are today. Okay? So I think the lesson from this is that each year you have to have some sort of increase because costs rise, wages rise, medical rise. So if we're not cutting expenses and we're not increasing taxes, but our expenses going up, we're going to wind up right back here again. So no matter who's here, in the next couple of years, this has to be a lesson that we all learn from. And there's recognition of budget issues relative to the revenue overstatement. Tax Board did recognize that, and part of the 2.5 mil increase was to correct the overstatement of revenue that they had for those last three fiscal years. We took a hard approach at long-term cost, and it was the pension plan. Now, I want to be very clear here, we are not raiding the pension plan. This is just, we are not making the full appropriation to the plan. Our plan currently sits at about 86.7% funded. It's very strong. A lot of plans are in the 40s and 30s. But I do not want this to be a precedent, and I do not want it to be something that the funds that we're not making, the contribution we're not making the pension plan, goes into operating expenses. That's how Hamden and all these other towns get into tremendous trouble, and they wind up having to issue debt to cover their monthly expenses. All we're doing here is we're reducing the annual contribution of 740 to 200, and we're putting the money right towards the fund balance. Whether we like it or not, we're chasing, replenishing the fund balance right now. So if you look at the previous slides, we had the 1.8 million, we had the 450 and the 350. Now we're going to put in another 540. So this is going to help us get to our goal of fund balance. This will happen the same next year. Our current performance By doing this, by taking those two deductions to the actual contribution each of the years, will fund us about 80, I put 80, but it's going to be about 82%, provided the assumptions of the portfolio remain constant. Assumptions being there in each of the portfolios, an assumption on what growth will be. It used to be 8%, we reduced it to 7.5. Markets are risky. We don't think we're going to get 8 anymore. And if you do, it's not going to be across the board. You might get in some segments of the market. You're not going to see the overall portfolio, so we reduced that assumption. The other assumption we reduced, we were carrying a 3% annual increase in salaries. We're not doing that anymore. We're carrying 2 to 2.5. It's more aligned with what we're actually awarding. So those two adjustments with current market performance, I'm comfortable we're going to be okay. But we have to make those contributions of the promise. So for every 540 we don't contribute, it's about a 2% hit on that 86% funding level. Now, what do we have to do to make that up? We have to make a $60,000 additional contribution for the next 9 years. So we win on this because $60,000 a year, we actually benefit because the fund balance, by it being restored, we avoided a downgrade of possibly four notches. Each notch would cost us between 0.15 and 0.3% interest. On $22 million, we're talking about $1 million that would hit the homeowners that was avoided. Tax sale. This is under your board review right now. You do approve it. There was comments tonight, and I'm sure you're going to deal with how to proceed. But these are taxes that haven't been paid. While I understand situations and individuals can't afford their taxes, when they don't pay, each of us pay more, even if spending stays flat. So this is to kind of catch up and clean the slate of delinquent taxes. Some will remain on the books, and that's a good thing, but this is to try and inject some cash and clean out the outstanding balances. There are some structural organizational changes that will be addressed. Complete review and assignment and execution of the order of findings and recommendations has commenced. There are actually dates and individuals who are assigned to the corrective action. The tax board was proactive and funded a $30,000 appropriation for us to bring in a bookkeeper, and that has been needed for years. That's the additional staff. There's additional oversight of the Board of Ed operating budget grants, and Dr. Conway and the city has been working collaboratively, and it's been very positive, and everyone's on board on what we have to do to fix this and make sure it never happens again. The city is implementing double entry counting on all of its accounts, which is an order recommending. And we're adjusting some roles and responsibilities to make sure that the work is level loaded and we're able to take on all the responsibilities.
Excuse me, Keith, have we hired anybody yet?
Bookkeeper, we have two people.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out which one.
That'll have to go through this board? New position?
No.
No.
It's not an employee.
It's services.
It's contracted services.
Contract slots go through us.
No, it's a, there's a specific term for a role.
I think the bidding, the charter talks about professional service.
Professional service.
Contract.
But what's in the contract? If we need it, contract. It's fine. We're not afraid of the contract.
Just so we do it.
Yeah, that's fine. No problem with that. The groundless growth, this is an interesting indicator. It's when the analysis utilized to see how a community is growing. What you will see over time, which I did some analysis, is in 2014, 69%, or excuse me, 2015, 64% of our taxes were on the homeowners, residential, 17.7 were on commercial. Fast forward today, 67.6 were on homeowners and 14% are on commercial. A clear indicator that the shift of the dollars is falling more and more on the homeowners, which only means we really need commercial and growth on the commercial base side. We do have some things in the pipeline to help check that box. One is the Main Street development, second is the fuel cell of ARCA. The Whiting Route 34 project, albeit sometime down the road, it will assist in groundless growth. P&Z is going through some zone text changes, and there are additional 14 acres owned by the city left to sell and develop. Hopefully that will be stimulate some groundless growth. But that is where we need to focus, and I know everyone is, and it's easy for me to make one statement. We have to go groundless. I know it's hard work. But that's where the future dollars are going to be, to shift the burden back to hopefully a 64% on the homeowners and 19% on the commercial. Fund balance replenishment. The Board of Taxation does have a policy on fund balance levels. We will modify that policy in accordance with new standards. We're looking at 15%. It might be 12 to 15%. They're going to modify that hopefully in the next 30 to 60 days. We are taking incremental steps to replenish this. The analysts in Wall Street actually applauded this approach versus us doing a major tax or doing some sort of sale of debt to replenish the fund balance. They respect that our approach is kind of level and strategic. We want to get to about $5.9 million in the fund balance over over the next 12 months. And we think we can get to about 3.6, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do for the next fund balance injection of cash. Here's a summary on how we're going to get there. The debt restructuring in 1920 gives us $1.8 million. 2021 gives us $1.5 million. Sell the assets, $450,000. If you notice from a previous slide, I had a $354 road. I did not include it in this. At the time of our presentation to New York, it was not a firm deal. I did not want to put it in here. They look at what you promise them and what you deliver, and the $350 was not something that we were comfortable saying was firm, so that only increases our fund balance replenishment. The adjusted long-term costs were $1.1 million, and the tax sale is an estimated $1.0 million. I know it's fluctuating, but that's the number, okay? If we take without grand list growth, we're at $5.8 million. If we take the tax sale out 100%, which we know it won't be, we're at $4.8 million. So we are right there, and this is a course of action that does not require additional taxes. I want to stress that again. It does not require additional taxes. So, we have a negative fund balance of $2.5 million as of June of 18, and it's estimated to be $3.5 million as of June 19, and this is the recovery, how to get there. I'm going to fast forward to the estimates we provided New York for the Main Street development. These are not in our numbers. If you remember the number I had to replenish the fund balance, I did not use groundless growth. Anything in this category will only help us get to the bogey faster. There's an estimated unit value of $90,000 on the parcel that's being developed or proposed to be developed. This is an estimate on total number of units, and they're talking about $997,000 for taxes. It's an indicator not used in our analysis. So how do we continue to focus on success? Barry will touch on this, but when you go to New York, there's a couple things they expect, and we've achieved them. What hurt us was our fund balance replenishment that really hurt us. And we had a one bond rating notch downgrade, which we'll get into, and it could have been much worse had we not worked together to come up with a plan. They look to see that we have a pay-as-you-go capital plan. This board and the Board of Taxation have had a capital plan for the last 20 years. That is a checkbox that they respect. They see that we're willing to commit to invest into our infrastructure. Because if we don't, all we're going to wind up doing is going to the bond market to borrow money to fix roofs and do things like that. That's not a good thing. We've made a commitment to capital plan. The tax code has been phenomenal. And every year we have a capital plan, and it shows as a positive for New York. They see that we're funding our long-term liabilities. We're not ducking from our pension contribution. We're not ducking from our OPEB, post-employment benefits. We're not ducking from the medical reserve. That's a good thing. If you look at our tax collections, we despite what the mill rate's been, we hover around 98%. That is phenomenal. That is something where they don't, even when you have a mill increase, people are going to pay their taxes. They see commercial growth tax base developing. They also see we use conservative budget. This is a good thing, this is a bad thing. We were so conservative in budgeting that we actually wound up not taxing enough for each of those last 3 years. And that's because we overstated revenue. This is key. You know, I know it's easy. Everybody throws darts at the Board of Ed, but the analysts have gotten into a new layer of assessment. And one of the first questions they ask is, what's the relationship with the Board of Ed? They understand that in every district in Connecticut, the Board of Ed is your major budget placeholder. We give them $19 million a year. They want to know that there's collaboration, there's discussion, there's trust between the two. And granted, whatever happened because of the lack of timely reconciliations, I can assure you with Dr. Conway and Mayor Zekin and all of us that went in the room, the solution has been what the focus has been on. And they want to make sure we're replenishing the fund balance, and we are. So with that, I'll turn over to Barry Bernardi, who will walk you through. Now, so what happened was you go to the rating agencies, and they say, okay, you have a problem, what's your solution? And we presented this to the analyst in New York. They then issue a rating report, and we went down one notch to an A+. But Ansonia went down a notch. Selma went down a notch. We are equal with Shelton in our bond rating. And I know that gets lost because, again, people want to say, you went down your bond rating, you're all bums, get out of office. They need to understand what the analysts are doing here. They're benchmarking us to other Connecticut municipalities. We went down one notch because of all of the things you and the tax board committed to do. And that's this plan. We would have been down 3 or 4 notches, folks. We wouldn't have been B's. And I'm telling you now, the state would have taken us over. There is no doubt in my mind that if we went into the B's, we would have been taken over. So applaud yourselves, because we're working together. Doesn't matter what political party we are, we're keeping our eye on the solution. So we presented this, they gave us a rating of A+. Now I'll turn it over to Barry to walk you through the sale and the bond rating assessment.
Thank you. And I just want to recap it too. I've been doing this with municipalities for over 20 years in the state of Connecticut. I worked with the city of Waterbury when the state took them over. I was working a little bit with Hartford when the state came in and had to pay all of their debt service. And when Keith first told me about this whole situation that the city had in, I have to be honest with you, in my mind, as Keith just said, I said, you know, this is bad. This rating is going to go down 4 or 5 notches. And Keith did this presentation, what he just did right here, to the rating agencies. And during that rating, the mayor was there, Andrew was there, Vin was there. I've never seen a presentation as concise and to the point as this. I've seen other communities do these color charts and all these bells and whistles. This was boom, boom, boom. In my mind, I was actually saying a little, Keith, slow down a little. There's so many good points here. But he kept hammering them. And at the end of that rating presentation, in my mind, I'm saying, wow, maybe this isn't going to be as bad as I thought. Not only was it not a 4 or 5 notch downgrade, it was just one notch downgrade. And that is a testament to the job that the city has done. So I really congratulate you on that. Over my 20 years, I've never seen anything like that. Now, there's two main factors that determine a community's borrowing cost. When we talk, the first one is the overall level of interest rates. So whether you're Greenwich or New Haven or Waterbury or Harvard, where the overall level of interest rates is, and on that handout that you also have.
Let me get there.
I'm sorry. It's in that handout, a benchmark for all long-term rates is the 10-year U.S. Treasury bond. It's the government's cost for borrowing, on page 2. In there, there's a graph. I like to use some graphs sometimes to help kind of get the visual across. On that page 2, it shows that yield plotted over the last 75 years. It peaked in 1981 at 16%. It bottomed out in 2016 at 1.4%. When the city of Derby did this transaction, if you look at the far right-hand side, you were about a few basis points away from the 100-year low in interest rates, the all-time low in interest rates in the history of the United States. And that's on page 2. If you turn to page 3, it shows the same chart over a 1-year time period. And it gives you more of a visual as to how much that interest rates had dropped off. So these global decreases in interest rates have really paid off for the city. The city's timing could not have been better. Actually, right after the city did this transaction, interest rates actually spiked up. So the timing of this was very beneficial. On page 4 is just an article. You don't have to read the whole thing, but it just explains how municipal bond yields have hit historic lows. And again, the timing on this was very beneficial because it hit that all-time low. On page 5 is the rating scale. As Keith mentioned, the city was rated AA-. If you look on the left-hand side, is the Standard & Poor's rating. The highest is AAA. It goes all the way down to the BBBs. The city was rated AA- through this whole transaction. I thought it was going to end up in the BBBs. Went down one notch to an A+. As Keith said, Ansonia was recently downgraded. The town of Windham was downgraded. The city of Shelton was downgraded. So there are a lot of municipalities in the state that have been downgraded recently. But that A+ rating is actually almost average for the state of Connecticut. So it's still a very good rating. It allowed us to get a lot of investor interest on this bond issue that we did, this debt refinancing / restructuring. What factors go into a municipality's rating on page 6? There's 5 major factors. The first one is management assessment. They assign a rating to the management team. And again, on that rating presentation, with the mayor, the chief of staff, the treasurer, Finn, it really came across that you guys had this plan in place, you made some tough decisions, you made those decisions, and the goal was in a relatively short period of time to replenish that fund balance. And that really came across, I think. So I think your management assessment score was very, very high. They look at your demographic profile. You know, it's hard for a community to change that. You know, if you're Greenwich, you're one thing. If you're New Haven, you're one thing. It takes generations to change demographics. You don't have a lot of control over that. Number three and number four, you do have your financial performance, your ability to generate surpluses and grow your fund balance, to replenish fund balance. That was a big positive in that rating presentation. Keith's presentation to get that into positive within a year. Your debt management. Now, the other benefit here is the city had some short-term debt that was outstanding for the WPCA. What we did with this transaction is we did one bond transaction, and we combined the new money for the WPCA, $10 million, along with the debt refinancing for the city. So by doing that, typically there's all these issuance costs when you issue bonds. Instead of doing two separate transactions, there was one. The city saved over $100,000 just in issuance costs by combining them together. And then the fifth component is long-term liabilities, which is not a big problem for Derby, but it's a bigger problem for the state of Connecticut and a lot of other large cities. Just some historic framework to understand the interest rates. Back on page 7, the city issued bonds in October of 2018. This was less than a year ago. Just a new money bond issue. The city was rated AA-, 20-year bond issue. Bulk of it was for WPCA roads. The interest rate, or the true interest cost, the TIC, was 3.59%. Less than a year ago, 3.59. If you look at the next page, the town of Fairfield issued bonds a few months ago. Now they're rated AAA by Standard & Poor's, AAA by Moody's. AAA, 20-year bonds, $15.7 million. Their borrowing cost was 2.54% for 20-year bond issue. Now if we turn to the city's actual cost for this transaction on page 9, where we have the funding summary up on top, is 2.53%. So the city of Derby's borrowing cost was less than the town of Fairfield's borrowing cost a couple months earlier, a month and a half earlier. That's a testament to the strong investor interest, this rating presentation, the fact that it was only downgraded one notch. It's an amazing interest rate. It was much lower than the city's borrowing cost when he actually had a higher rating less than a year ago. So I said the city's timing is very beneficial. The city's A-plus rating on page 9 allowed for very strong investor interest. The city saved issuance costs, as I mentioned, by combining the $10 million of WPCA bonds with this debt refinancing. The city saved $1.8 million in its current fiscal year, $1.5 million in next year's budget. We actually saved a little bit more money in the subsequent years, for a total of over $3.5 million of savings in the next 5 years. We basically reduced the city's existing borrowing costs on old bonds at 3.26%. Pushed it down to 2.53%. We capitalized on that decrease in interest rates. We did do a little bit of restructuring, which had kind of out in the years, it cost the city about $700,000 in higher interest costs out in the later years, but we saved $3.5 million in the early years. And I really think this whole presentation, just to wrap it up, I really think the city's well positioned in the next couple of years to go back to Standard & Poor's and say, this is what we told you we're gonna do, here's what we did. We'd like to get our bond rating back up to that AA-, AA cap. So just to recap again, the city was able to capitalize on the very low interest rate environment, and this rating presentation was one of the best I've seen in my 20 years in this business to mitigate the downgrade in the interest rate.
On that, we'd like to introduce John Acavallo, who's the auditor. We talked about some structural changes and some improvements. The city side, the Board of Ed, and the others. So John will address that in this room.
Okay, during the audit process, we came across 15, 16 major findings, of which have been a part of the city's processes for a number of years. It goes back many, many years. It's something that's carrying over year after year. It really hit home when the budgeting with the Alliance money in 16-17 was double counted. It was counted as revenue, and it was also not counted as an offsetting expenditure, thereby multiplying the issue. That carried forward to 17-18 and 18-19, and if it's not corrected, it'll carry forward even more. The reason why it would happen was because you had information that was given to that then the chief of staff that was probably incorrect from the state of Connecticut, and then just combining grants. They didn't even know how those grants were going to act at that point in time when the information was given. The communication between the Board of Ed and City happened here and there on those amounts, and I'm privy to that information. Some of it was not taken to the next level to reflect the numbers in 16-17, and it turned out to be a problem that compounded and carried forward. That, with all these other little issues, double entry accounting, not reconciling with the Board of Education on a timely basis, all of those things added up into what was a bad situation and made it even worse for the city. What the city has done since then to correct these issues is the communication lines have been wide open between the Board of Education and the city. The finance directors have been sitting down and talking to each other about where the amounts are coming from and going in between, so everything's getting reconciled to a point, not up to the level where I would like to see yet, but the bank accounts are getting reconciled, and everything else is moving in a lot better fashion. With that said, we're trying to get in here a lot earlier this year to do get the audit process going and get everybody to the board and look at all these numbers as quick as possible.
In your packet, there was a document that from the auditor that was dated agreed upon procedures for the deficiencies dated June 30th, 2018. If you go through that, you'll see each of the issues, what caused it, what's your recommendation to the auditor to take a portrait of the document as the rating agency. It talks about what the major issues are, what caused it, what's the corrective action, and the responsible party. And again, we're focused on the solution, but in there is the document that should be received as well.
And it really goes in almost order of what should be attacked first and what should be taken on second. A lot of this stuff is mechanical and can be done with a regular monthly close. Adding somebody that bridges between the Board of Ed and the city from an accounting function will open up communication lines and also give a much needed reconciliation process push in the right direction.
That is our presentation for you tonight, Mr. Mayor. I'm free to answer questions or just keep on emailing questions. That's fine.
Any other questions for the treasurer?
Well, I think it's a good job done. Appreciate the 8-point plan and sticking by it and giving us the update. So we're going to keep you on the agenda at least for another month. Just after election season, we'll see. But I believe that the citizens of Derby, deserve an update on where we were, where we are now, and how things are going based upon the plan that you put in place, or the city put in place to continue. And you other gentlemen, thank you very much for your assistance in helping us through this difficult time.
Yeah, the follow-through was the big thing. We've had problems in years. We've done this and that, and this. We started off like a we need to follow through, and it'll work out great.
Thanks, sir.
Great job.
Thank you. Although they don't bill by the hour, I'd like to let them leave.
Yes. Gentlemen, thank you. It was a lot of work, and I appreciate what you did for us. Okay, hearing no others, we're going to go to number 7. Administration and appointments. Number 7.1.1, move to approve minutes of regular meeting, August 8th, 2019.
So moved. Second.
one correction.
Give it.
The last, I think it's the last page. It's under the when we came out of executive session 12.1. It's authorized Thomas. The name is wrong. It's Cotter. C O T T E R.
I need better glasses.
Okay.
Similar.
Any other corrections? All right, here we go.
Redo my motion as amended.
Second.
As amended.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain at the end. Mr. Hyder wasn't here. So carried. 7.1.2, move to approve the minutes of the special meeting August 22nd, 2019.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain.
Barbara abstains. So carried. 7.2, refund of taxes. Move to approve tax refunds in amount of $3,447.64, dated September 11, 2019.
So moved.
And second?
Aye.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. So carried. 7.3, appointments to boards and commissions, none. Number 8, committee reports, Blight Committee.
Mr. Mayor, 8.1.1, 210 Hawkins Street, move to waive blight penalty in the amount of $13,300 on 210 Hawkins Street because new owner has remedied the blighted conditions.
You have a second?
Second.
Okay, discussion?
I just have a question. From your minutes, Joe, yep. It indicated that that amount might be a little bit more because the that was the amount in February.
I can speak to that if you'd like. What happened was we were trying to work with this particular party who's an ill person to try to get some remediation at it in a timely manner. And eventually she vacated. The bank promised that they would do what they could to turn this property over as soon as possible. And the gentleman who just bought this, he bought this property risky, kind of say. I'm sure he got a good price, but instead of going to contracts we usually do, we didn't have to. He did the remediation before requesting the waiver, which is granted by our ordinance. And I think he put all new siding on it, doing the inside back porches and everything. I think that his effort, because it's no fault of his at all, that he should get the waiver.
Well, I'm just reading what the motion was. The motion that was referred here said whatever.
Right, dude.
So I just wanted to make sure that if that's the amount, because that's not what the motion referred.
It's given to me right, before the agenda.
If we say $13,300, but the actual, because February to now, we've accrued more money than
he's still being on the books for. Yes, it does. Well, the other part about it is why we also believe he should get the waiver.
No.
Is because at a certain point,
I don't think you're following what I'm saying.
They did not have the
technology. No.
Oh, the dollar amount.
Yeah, the dollar amount.
It is higher. Yeah, because it continues. That was the amount that she made.
So do we have a different dollar amount that should be currently due if we were to look at the books today?
It would be $100 a day of the date that it shows there to today. That's how that works.
The motion in the minutes was that it was amended to waive the entire penalty amount. So
I'll make a motion to amend my motion to put in there instead of the amount, put the entire amount.
Okay, so take back your second.
Yes.
All right. So we have a new motion. Do I have a second on that motion?
Second.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? So carry.
8.1.2, 210-214 Derby Avenue. Move to remove 210-214 Derby Avenue from the white list.
Do I have a second?
Aye.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? So carry.
8.1.3, 39 Grandview Boulevard. Move to remove 39 Grandview Boulevard from the white list.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? So carried.
8.1.4, 111 Pleasant View Road. Move to remove 111 Pleasant View Road from the white list.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. So carries.
8.1.5, 204-206 Derby Avenue. Move to remove 204-206 Derby Avenue from the plan.
Have a second? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. So carried.
8.1.6, 204-206 Derby Avenue. Move to add 204-206 Derby Avenue to the whitelist.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. So carried.
8.1.7, 3 Francis Street. Move to add 3 Francis Street to the whitelist.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstain. So carried.
8.1.8, 17-25 Crescent Street. Move to add 17-25 Crescent Street to the blight list.
Have a second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. So carried.
8.1.9, 5-7 East Hawkins Street. Move to add 5-7 East Hawkins Street to the blight list.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Second.
Opposed? Abstain. So carried. 8.2.
Sidewalk reimbursements. This is according to our ordinance. Move to approve the following sidewalk reimbursements pursuant to sections 172-8 of the Derby ordinance and approved by Director of Public Works. Roseanne Hakerd, 5 Genetti Drive, $2,490. And Ann Marisola, 117 Hawthorne Avenue, $540.
So second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. So carried.
8.2.2, refund of building permit fees. Move to approve the request for reimbursement of building permit fees in the amount of $17,712.70 by McKenney Mechanical of the following City Derby projects. Irving School Plumbing, $299.42. Irving School Heating and Cooling, $12,766.84. Bradley School Plumbing, $436.76. Bradley School Heating and Cooling, $2,847.84. Derby High School Plumbing, $1,260.80, and Derby High School Heating and Cooling, $101.04.
Second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. So carried.
8.2.3, replacement of roofs at Pegasus and storm firehouses. action is to accept the amendment to the capital plan, including these projects.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. So carried. Operations procedures.
Executive session.
What was that?
What was the exact figure?
Go back to 8.2.3, sorry.
And if we could add them as two separate Pegasus.
Oh, okay.
All right, it was 41.5.
It's 41.5 for
41.5 for Company 4, 26.5 for storm. So two different motions.
Okay.
So a motion to amend the 2000. Mr. Mayor, at this time, I'd like to make a motion to amend the 2019 capital plan to include $41,500 to go out to bid for the placement of the Company 4 roof.
Okay, do I have a second? Have a second on that?
Barbara seconded.
Oh, Barbara seconded?
A second.
Okay, sorry. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? So carried.
And Mr. Mayor, I'd also like to make a motion that we amend the 2019 capital budget to include $26,500 to go out to bid for replacement of the Storms Engine Company roof.
Second. Discussion?
The only thing I want to say is I hope these buildings and the agencies don't wait to the last minute from now on. That's, we, you know, for us to be in paying this money because no one told us about it is wrong. It just doesn't happen overnight that the roofs leak and we have to pay all this money. We should have been notified a long time ago. So I hope we send some an email out to all these department heads that when there's a problem, we want to know when the problem starts, not when it's down the road, we got to pay thousands and thousands of dollars.
Well, but just in response to that, I believe the email, and it was on community relations agenda, and I believe the email from past Commissioner Pacino was dated August 1st with an estimate.
August 1st?
August 1st.
Okay.
We haven't had any
other questions. So you're telling me it started leaking in August?
I'm not going to argue, Tom.
Come on,
I'm just
please.
Telling you what.
You're sticking for that thing.
No, I'm not going to. You know, I open my mouth, and I'm going to open my mouth. And the roofs qualify for LoSiP funds. It's not, it's different funding than actual, it's reimbursable by the state.
That's not the point. The point is they waited until the roofs needed a lot of work. If they told us when it started to leak, we could have fixed it with maybe a little money. Now we got to pay thousands.
The Poggies has been patched many times.
Well,
but it's the thing that if someone knew, we should have put out for this earlier.
Right.
Every year things get more expensive.
I'm just going to add 2 cents to that too, because I've been saying it for 2 years now. Because we continue to do business the way we do business. First of all, Public Works Department should have a building maintenance person. Public Works should have somebody who goes around and does
preventive maintenance
on every city-owned property. And we need to look at that in our next budget cycle. They should also have some sort of an electrician or a plumber on hand too. That we don't have that. To be honest with you, I wouldn't want to be sitting as the fire commissioner right now, because I know nothing about roofs. Okay, I could tell you that there's water coming through it, but then it's incumbent upon me to go out and get bids on roofs. You could give me a piece of paper saying it's going to cost 10 grand to replace this roof, and I'd say that's the best thing since sliced bread, because I don't know. That's why we need somebody in this city who has that knowledge in this type of position, and for the future, we need to stop doing business the way we do business.
Yeah.
Not that I disagree with you, Tom.
Thank you.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? So carried. Operation procedures, nothing. Road bond, nothing. Number 9, new business. 9.1.
We're going to do executive session
after 8.4.
We move those two up.
Move those up.
11 and 12.
We went 12 up.
Yep.
So make a motion. Go into executive session number 11, and I need to include Doc Conway to come, Drew Backlick, our
Benny.
Esteemed Corp Counsel.
Did you get that?
And get away to Keith, go. And Keith, speak to Liberty.
All right, do I have a second?
Who seconded it?
$35,000.